You're listening to the Two Dead Chicks podcast. I'm Melissa.
I'm Kia.
And today we're here to talk about Season 8, Episode 6, The King, The Widow, and Rick. But before we get into all that, just a reminder, you can find us on all the socials. We are Two Dead Chicks on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and Facebook. You can also find us online at twodeadchicks.com. And you can find our podcast on Stitcher, Google Play, and of course, Apple Podcasts. While you're there, leave us a rating. Let us know what you think. We always love to hear your feedback. And speaking of feedback, make sure to send us your episode feedback after each episode airs on Sunday nights to twodeadchicks@gmail.com. And you can always use our hashtag during the episodes when we live tweet, hashtag TDCpod, or even if you're, listening, later on or watching later on, you can still use that hashtag and we'll always see it and keep the conversation going all throughout the week. By the way, guys, we never heard from our other contest winner, so that means somebody else is going to get the Ross Marquand autograph. The Brummy. Make sure to send us your screenshot of your review and send us your address to twodeadchicks@gmail.com. Again, that is The Brummy. You won a Ross Marquand autograph. Congratulations.
Fun times.
And thanks for participating. Mm-hmm. Okay, so thoughts on this episode?
It seems like we have come to the annual episode 6, What Are You Doing? The Walking Dead. Yeah. Like, last year's episode 6 was that Tara thing. And then, I don't remember season 6, but it was probably trash because it was season 6. Hmm. And I think, episode 6 in season 4 was, when the governor came back. This is the point in the show where it's just the writers keep proving that they don't deserve 16 episodes because they cannot do it. They can't do it.
No, they can't.
So just stop doing it. Stop giving it to them.
Yep.
I don't understand how they fix one thing. We're definitely seeing more quote unquote movement. Like, it's not just with one person. We're bouncing back and forth mm-hmm. between communities, storylines. So they fixed that. But I don't know. They messed up. You fix one thing and you just mess something else up. I don't understand what this plan is. We were talking about it last week. We're like, oh, yeah, we just gave them way too much credit. We thought we knew what the plan was. We thought we had a broad idea of what the plan was. And then as we're getting into it, it's did you guys even talk about this? I don't understand what you talked about. I don't understand what you discussed.
Nope.
I don't understand why we instead had those inspirational speeches by each leader saying the same thing in episode 1, but y'all didn't actually talk about the nitty gritty, logistics of, or the strategies, I should say, the things that you would think someone planning a war would come up with. I don't know. I expect more of Rick. He was a police officer. He's a sheriff. I don't know that, you got stuff planning. You're definitely not planning something on this big a scale. But if someone calls something in and you got to go to somebody's house, there's always what if you see this? What if this happens?
Right.
And it's the same thing here. And we just never went over that, huh? Just never.
No, we didn't, I guess. Either that or nobody's listening to Rick at all.
Yeah.
And that's always possible.
Right.
Especially when you got Daryl all up in here.
And what's the point of calling Rick your leader if you're just going to ignore him?
Indeed.
And it's not even ignoring him for something that is this makes more sense, or you're going off path, Rick. This is not what we decided. It's nothing like that.
No,
it's Rick's following the plan, and then you just decided, I want to do something else.
Exactly.
It's 8 rogue missions going on.
And of course, if So the situation changes and the plan needs to change. By all means, change the plan, but this should be a group decision. This shouldn't be everybody, every man for themselves.
Like, right.
That's a great way to get y'all's asses all killed. And you know what? Maybe that's just what we need to do. I don't know. Because I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah.
And, oh, God.
Oh. Before we go into that, there was some big news about big crossover news.
Yeah.
If you guys didn't know, Fear the Walking Dead is a show. I mean, I barely know that, but it is a show that also airs on AMC, also about the zombie apocalypse in a different part of America, in a different timeline. Like, it starts before where we picked up on The Walking Dead. And from what I understand, they've caught up now. But, I mean, they are now in the apocalypse. Like, they are intersecting timeline-wise, mm-hmm. but not character-wise. And they decided to make a change. And they were like, you know what? A character from either Fear the Walking Dead is going to cross over to The Walking Dead, which, of course, that wasn't going to happen because who cares? Mm-hmm. Or a character from The Walking Dead is going to go to Fear the Walking Dead. And there was a lot of speculation like, oh, it's going to be Abraham, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And they announced it last night and it is not Abraham. It is Morgan. And I was like, okay, what does that mean? You know, I was like, right. Is Lenny James just not on The Walking Dead anymore? And as he was talking on Talking Dead, yeah, he's not on The Walking Dead. He's done. At the end of the season, he was saying, when the thought was first introduced to send his character over to Fear the Walking Dead, he was like, the hardest thing about this whole process is being and saying goodbye to The Walking Dead. So I was like, oh, so he's not on the show anymore? And Melissa McBride was a guest on Talking Dead, and she was like, oh, I thought I was like all cried out from like saying goodbye. Then I see his face again. And I was like, oh, he's really not on the show anymore.
Nope.
Which is a huge thing to spoil.
Huge.
It's a huge thing to spoil. And I don't necessarily know if that was the plan to spoil
right.
that, because when Gimple, I guess, gave Talking Dead some pre-written statement, he was like, yeah, Morgan's going to be featured on Fear the Walking Dead. And Morgan still has a lot more story left on The Walking Dead and, you know, all the rest of 8B, all the rest of season 8. And I was like, I mean, not according to what I just heard.
Right.
So.
Or that's the only story he has left is what's in season 8.
Right.
And that's like, okay. And I don't understand. I mean, does it definitely mean that he's going to die on the show? Does it mean that he could potentially, like, could the timelines intersect where he could leave? And just go live on this other show? Like, I mean, I guess they could feasibly have a time jump.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? I guess, you know.
But yeah.
I just hate to see Morgan leave.
Right.
Also, I'm not going to watch Fear.
I'm not going to watch Fear. But, you know, honestly, after the shock of it, because I don't want Morgan to leave. I don't want Lenny to leave. They're really good actors. I mean, Lenny's a... Oh, just a tremendous actor.
Yes.
I want him to stay on the show.
Yeah.
But what is Morgan doing? What is Morgan's character? Where do you see Morgan's character going?
You don't, unfortunately. There's not a lot of direction. And yeah.
Yeah.
But I just feel like, oh, it's such a waste. And that's the writer's fault. I mean, mm-hmm. they could do so much with him.
Right.
You've got this amazing resource right here at your hands, and you do what with him?
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, it is their fault. But at the same time, I feel like Morgan's character has kind of outlived his usefulness
right.
on the show with the current direction they're going in. And mm-hmm. it doesn't seem like they're doing anything to change that.
Sure
so.
Doesn't.
And then, I feel like they grossly underestimate why a lot of people watch The Walking Dead. I know a lot of people watch The Walking Dead because they love zombies, and that's cool.
Sure.
A lot of people watch The Walking Dead because they like the characters. That's mm-hmm. why I watch it.
Same.
I know, and I I feel like they rely on the zombies a little too much, because from what I understand, Fear is chock full of zombies, right?
Yes.
Just zombies.
At least that's what I understand. I don't know.
And nobody watches it. So it's like, so then they kind of like, well, maybe we should bring interesting characters to Fear. But it's like, don't do that at the expense of the main show.
Right.
Like,
or here's an idea. How about you just make all your characters more interesting? I mean, that's a novel concept. But
yeah.
I did stick with Fear the Walking Dead for the whole first season. And I'm just going to be real honest, guys. I thought it was trash. There was not one person. No, that's a lie. There was one person I liked, and he was gone after like the first episode. It was this kid, Tobias.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't care about any of these people. Like, there was nobody worth, like, investing time in to go, oh, I really hope you live. I was like, yeah, I'm good. Y'all can all kick it. I'm cool. You know? They're just not good.
Yeah.
They're not well written. They're very just one-dimensional. They're just weren't good.
Yeah.
And even people that are fans of the show will say, oh, you know, it was really rough for the first, like, well, season and a half. And I'm like, I don't have that kind of time to invest in a show. Like, if I gotta wait over a whole season for it to get good, I'm just not gonna wait.
Right.
I'm good. Like, oh, but if you just watch the first three seasons, I promise it'll be better. No.
Right.
No, I'm not about that life. I'm good. Yeah.
I don't know. I was really in there with Gimple for a long time. Gimple had a lot of goodwill stored up with me for Rishon.
Sure.
And I'm just like, ooh, I'm not quite ready to give up. But now I'm just like, why would you give him two shows that he can trash instead of just putting more effort into him? Walking Dead's ratings are just continue to slide down into the trash. And it's just it's like a free fall.
It is a total free fall. Literally every single week after the episode airs, my Google thing is personalized or whatever, mm-hmm. and to show me stuff that I am interested in. And every Monday without fail, The Walking Dead's ratings at lowest point ever. And I'm like, I mean, there's reasons.
Yeah.
There are reasons for that.
Yeah.
And this episode was a great example.
Right. And I'm just like, I don't understand what now I'm at the point where I'm like, yeah, probably need a new showrunner. I don't know what you're doing, but you're not. This is still the highest rated show on TV, and it's no thanks to you.
Nope.
You just had a lot of viewers to lose.
Exactly. Like, you were starting from a very high place.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't understand what they're doing. And this episode was just complete. Honestly, it was a dumpster fire for me. I didn't. First of all, what was the point of this Jadis shit? Other than to just show her naked ass.
We didn't see her ass.
Well, that we did see somebody's naked ass. Yeah. I'm so sorry. A different trash person.
Yeah.
But what was the point?
No.
Of
no.
that?
Yeah.
But the one thing I will say is, man, Carl's hair is like banging. I'm like, how did you get this Farrah Fawcett like body, like all the swoop and everything? I'm over here like I can't get my hair to do nothing. But he's in the zombie apocalypse and his hair is flawless. His
ghost hair. I don't know where that Carl was. I have no idea.
What in the hell?
I don't know if he was on this plane, on this physical plane. I'm like, what is this? Did this happen in real life?
Did it? Exactly. No, I have absolutely no idea. And then we'll get into it a little bit more later, but like, I did not love this thing with Michonne. I was really salty about how that whole thing went down.
Yeah, I saw that and I don't really get it.
What do you mean?
I don't get how salty you were about someone being physically injured, not being at the top of their game.
No, I get that. But even injured, she's still stronger than the majority of the people that we have.
Okay.
And
she didn't lose.
No, she did not. But I felt like she would have been able to slice that lady like that.
But I don't know why you think that.
Because that's just how she is. She's a badass.
But she's injured.
I get that. But, I mean, Rosita's injured and she blew some guy to kingdom come.
She pushed a button.
Well, that's also true. Like, but I don't know. I just don't like it.
I get not liking it, but I don't think it makes any sense to establish that she was beaten within an inch of her life. She was unconscious, like all this stuff.
Right.
And then she was too injured to go on this thing. And then a day later, she can fight.
Right.
Doesn't make any, you know.
I guess that's true. And they are, like, they do a lot with the timing.
Yeah.
And that it makes it seem like it was a lot longer than it actually was.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know.
No, I mean, like I said, I get not liking it. But if she would have done something more than what she did, I'm like, this is bullshit. Why didn't she just go then?
Right.
So.
Well, that's also a good point. But, yeah, I don't know. I just, like, I feel like they kind of, they did this before with the trash lady, like, that definitely couldn't have whooped her ass. Like, mm-hmm. She definitely couldn't have whooped her ass. We all know that, but that's fine. And I just kind of feel like they do it, like, I don't know, like, if they, like, they really want to show, like, weakness in her, and which, I mean, obviously, everybody's got a weakness. I get that. But I feel like they try to push it. Mm. And it's unnatural.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get it. She's going to have weaknesses. And we've seen one, like, glimpses of that where I felt like it was realistic.
Mm-hmm.
This was not one of those times.
Okay. All right. So we open with a catch up of all three communities. And they're keeping each other up to date with what's happened with each of their missions via letter, which is what Rick was writing back at that compound where they thought the guns were.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just writing handwritten, like two copies of handwritten letters. Maybe three with Rick. I don't know.
Right.
Because I don't, this whole thing was stupid. Like, this started off stupid. Maggie's letter is talking about Jesus's whole switcheroo. Carol's is telling about, like, the kingdom's, like, total annihilation. And Rick's is like, yeah, man, this is scary. Scarier than I thought it was going to be. And he name drops Sasha as the first to give her life for the fight. And he's like, now there are more. And Rick's letter gives a little more detail about this plan. But it's like, it gives it to us. But really, who is this letter for?
Right.
Like, because shouldn't you notice already? Because he's like, we're going to have snipers at the sanctuary. The sanctuary is surrounded. If anybody comes out, then we'll shoot them. But, you know, I don't know why they would come out because there's walkers. And it's like, don't y'all know this? Wasn't this the plan? Like, why are you putting all this in the letter? And also, like,
was it in the plan? I mean,
I don't know.
That's the thing. At this point, I'm giving them no credit.
Right.
Like, yeah, y'all didn't have a plan.
And that's the thing that's frustrating about this, because you could have just told us what the plan was in the beginning, and then stuff like this wouldn't be so glaring. And the thing that was also glaring is, like, we see that, like, Carol gets two letters, one from Rick, presumably one from Maggie. Maggie is two letters, but there are also letters delivered to Michonne.
Mm-hmm.
Like, from Rick.
Mm-hmm.
And she's looking like she's like, what is this? Like her expression is like, I didn't expect to see this letter. I don't know what this is.
Right.
And so I was always under the assumption that Rick's little detour to the trash people was not a part of the official plan because of the vague way they addressed it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in episode two, like, I got to stop to make. I was like, oh, this ain't part of the plan. But then in this thing, he's like, I'm still on the plan. This is, so I was like, so is this the plan?
And if it is, this is horribly stupid.
And why do you look so surprised, Michonne, if this is the plan?
Right.
That was my thing. I was confused about her reaction.
Right.
So what?
Yeah. Well, and also, if this was part of the plan for him to go,
mm-hmm.
why the hell are you going to go over here by your damn self?
I don't know.
That's crazy. Based on our previous interactions with the trash people.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
I think it's... I don't necessarily think it's stupid, but I don't see the point to it. Like, based on their interactions, like, that whole just like he said to them, we take, we don't bother. I think he banked on that. Like, they only bothered because there was a specific plan to turn on them at that point. Mm-hmm. That's it. So after that, they don't care.
Right.
So I think that's why he felt comfortable going there alone. But to what ends? Like, that was my, it wasn't necessarily him going alone. It was just like, why go at all?
Why go at all? Indeed.
Just burn it down.
Yeah. I just felt like, again, he put too much faith in the trash people.
Mm-hmm.
And for what reason?
Yeah.
I still don't know.
Yeah. No, I think he, I don't, yeah. Like I said, I don't think he felt the risk of going alone because, I mean, this is the same guy who they were like, let's go to up, up, up. And, you know, Michonne was worried and he wasn't. I just think that's kind of part of him.
Yeah.
But this is like, what's the point? That was my whole thing. What is the point of going to these people? But it's part of the plan. Maybe. I don't know.
Who
I guess.
Who knows?
So, then speaking of them, we go to the dump and Jadis is just sitting bare-assed in like the middle of a trash heap doing like her therapeutic wire sculptures or whatever. And did you see what she was making?
A cat.
Yeah.
I was like, why you gotta ruin everything? Can we not have one thing that is sacred? I don't want her making no cats.
Yeah.
Don't touch cats. You can make, I don't know, an owl sculpture. How about that? How about an owl? Ruin the owl because it's already ruined anyway.
Yeah. Well, apparently that was hers that she made anyway. That's why she wanted it back, I guess. But yeah, she's just sitting naked with an apron in the middle of the, in the middle, and like not even her little like trash house or whatever she lives in, just in the middle of everything. She got other people fully clothed scavenging a car for parts. And she just like, what is this? What is the point? What is the point? Why did the writers think that was so cute to put in there and show us?
Man, I don't know.
Like, okay. And then we see some like other trash person who walks in the frame in his apron, ass out. Just
right. I was, why? Why did we need to see this? But yeah, we can't get no Rashawn scenes.
And they're like, let's just walk around naked. And then there was like a knock on the door, I guess.
Yeah. Their whatever gate, what their whatever that was.
Yeah.
The door gate.
Yeah. Because Rick is there, I guess. Yeah. But didn't that lookout use that turkey whistle? Like, wouldn't they already know? So this is just...
Doesn't make any sense. It's a train wreck.
So...
It's a literal dumpster fire. That's exactly what this is.
And so, yeah, Jadis nods to open the door, and then that's the open. And I was like, cool. This is already starting off terrible.
Yep.
So, back at the hilltop, turns out Maggie is keeping the saviors outside the gates, and Jesus is handing them food. And at first I thought they were rolls. And I was like,
what? I thought they were onions.
I was like, where's the fishes, Jesus? I was
like, what is this?
But no, not
turnips.
I don't think I've ever had a turnip.
I don't think I have either. I was going to say, I wonder what a turnip tastes like, especially raw.
Yeah. Yes. So Dirty Hipster Savior is angry about his. And he's like, keep it. And Jesus tosses it to him anyway. He literally just like shakes it from his body, like, ugh, get away from me. And Maggie comes outside. She's not pleased that he's giving away their food. He's like, oh, these are just turnips, you know? They were in the root cellar. The saviors didn't even want them. And she's like, you don't get to decide what we do with our leftovers.
Nope.
And just because we don't need them now doesn't mean we won't later. And Gregory has also followed Maggie out, calling Jesus by his government name. He's like, give it up, Paul. And he's like, this whole thing's a farce. And he even suggests like building gallows just to save them bullets. Like, they gotta die. And Maggie sends him back inside. But she also pulls Jesus to the side and says, you shouldn't have put us in this situation. And I'm like, okay, Maggie, okay. And which is what I said in the first place. I was like, yep. You know, that is something that was not his right to do. And then try to give it over to her. Like, look what I did. What do you want to do, Maggie?
Right.
Like, what?
Yeah.
And so they argue about what they're actually fighting for. And she does let him know, like, all options are still on the table, like, regarding these people.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about that?
I think Maggie is definitely using her noggin throughout the whole episode. And I'm like, oh, that's good. Maybe we can just all work together now. Use your mental power and stretch it out to everyone else.
Yeah. What do you think about that conversation, though?
I mean, honestly, like, the Gregory thing, I'm like, mm-hmm. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
You're not wrong. And I agree with Maggie. Jesus shouldn't have put her, or whatever, Paul shouldn't have put her in this situation. And I think, you know, we might have to use these people.
Yeah. What about his thing where he was saying, this is, you know, we have to make sure that what is left was worth what we lost.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's taking his name a little too serious right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know. From what I can see, I don't feel like them having to take out... I mean, I think they are protecting everything that they've worked so hard for at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I would have probably already killed them, so... They don't want to ask me. What about you? What do you think?
I wish the conversation was had when they had this conversation in front of us. I kind of wish that Maggie would have called him on it. Like, again, like, if you felt this way, why didn't you say something?
Right.
You know, kind of that. I feel like she's saying the right things because, you know, he shouldn't have put them in that position. That's completely correct.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, why did you, like, what, why did you, when you, if you had this opinion, why didn't you share it? Why couldn't we come up with something different? Why couldn't we've had this discussion? Who made you boss? You actively shunned leadership
mm-hmm.
here. And now you're what? You're doing what?
Exactly.
So.
Well, and I mean, yeah. Why couldn't they have had this conversation before instead of now putting a drain on their resources and trying to figure out what to do?
Yeah.
It's not right.
Yeah. Mm-mm. And so I kind of wish that conversation was had so that, you know, like, force the issue with him, make him admit that that was the wrong call. Like,
right.
'Cause that's what's getting on my nerves, is that it's somehow justified at the end. And I like how Maggie did it. I really like how Maggie did it, but there was no acknowledgement from him that, yeah, you're right. I shouldn't have done this.
Nope.
And nobody's pushing him to make him accountable for that.
No, they're not.
So that's kind of what I was just like when I was, you know, looking at this conversation. Also, his hair, like, everybody was sweating so hard in this episode.
Yeah.
His hair was soaked the entire episode. Yep. Rick's, like, beard was, like, he's, like, sweat with your mom's beard. I'm like, geez, like, when did y'all film this?
Right? August. Probably. Like, August 1st. Hot as balls. Bless them.
I know. So, back at the kingdom, Carol just storms past Jerry, who is guarding the door to the building of the king's court, a.k.a. the theater. And she starts banging on the door. She's telling Zeke that he needs to get his shit together because they need to gather everyone who can fight and meet Rick. And Henry is listening nearby, and he perks up when he hears fighting. There's no response from Ezekiel, clearly. And as Carol is walking away, Jerry is sad because the Kang told him to go away. But he's like, I can't. This is what I do. And then Henry tries to follow Carol, but she shuts that down. Like, ugh. Go away.
Get more away kids.
Me. Get away from me.
Yep.
Don't follow me.
Leave me alone. Jerry was so cute.
I know.
Oh my God. By the way, I was like, I think it was on Thanksgiving. I'm not sure the name of the show, but it was Shamar Moore's new show. He was on it.
Aw.
I was like, oh my God, that's our friend. Oh, he's so precious.
Cute. SWAT?
Yes.
Okay.
He like had like a very like minor speaking part, but I was like, I mean, even his name was in the credits. I'm like, look at you. Cooper. Go Cooper.
Oh man, so cute.
Precious.
We go back to Rick. Rick is brought into the circle of trash and is met by a clothed Jadis.
Thank God.
Yeah. As well as Tamiel and Breon. And she wants to know why he's there after she shot him. And he's very quick to correct that he grazed her.
Which I thought was really funny. He has to make that a point like 3 times.
No, I know.
You grazed me. You grazed me.
He still wants a deal. And she wants to know why she should trust him because she shot him. And again, he's like grazed. He's like, I'd still be mad if you shot me. It's like, you're not mad now?
Right. You seem a little mad. I mean, you should be.
I know. Didn't they almost kill Michonne?
Yes, you should be mad. Almost kill Michonne when they definitely shouldn't have. Like, that would not have happened in real life. But that's cool. Yep.
Oh, so, that's cool with you, I guess.
I think that's the thing. I just have, like, held over resentment from that.
Uh-huh.
That's my problem.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't y'all do this again! No!
So, Tamiel thinks it's a trick. And Jadis is like, so it seems like you still need me to save your people. And he brings out his Polaroids. He does his PowerPoint on how the saviors are going to lose. And he's like, I don't need you anymore. I got my people. And he gives her an ultimatum, which is join them or his people will destroy them.
Why didn't we just destroy them?
That's what I'm saying. Why? What is...
What was the point?
Why don't... Yeah. Yeah. I did see some people like a week ago, this was like on Tumblr, they were saying, I think it's a smart move actually, because they are an unknown. They are a large group and they are unknown. And so he should try.
Okay.
What do you think?
I don't entirely understand that. They're unknown.
They're unknown.
To who?
Well, like an unknown alliance. Like they are okay. Like,
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. You don't know what their motives are.
Yeah. But that, to that degree, they can turn on you just like we've seen them do before.
Mm-hmm.
If they get a better deal. So, I'm not. No.
Yeah.
I disagree.
I mean, I can see where that person's coming from as far as you just don't want to leave them out there, which I think is true. We should just kill them.
Yes, yeah. That's what I think. I think they should just be dead. The end. But, I mean, I guess if we hadn't already seen them make a switch, sure.
Right.
You know, by all means. But we already know they're shady as fuck.
Right.
So, no. Kill them.
Yes. And they go back and, like, one of the things that was so weird was, like, oh, she was like, we killed some of your people. And the fact that she's trying to talk him out of this is, like, so hilarious.
I mean, at least somebody's using their noggin about it. Like, okay, yeah, you're right. So we should just kill you.
Right. And he's like, well, we killed some of yours, too. And I was like, why are you acting like this is the this is not the same as far as we have seen how the saviors behave. When you kill one of them, like when you kill one of the Alexandria, that's a big deal. That's family.
Mm-hmm.
Saviors is another person.
Yep.
It seems like the same thing with the trash people because mm-hmm. they got Winslow down there just doing whatever. Yep. Like it doesn't seem like they have those bonds.
No.
That the Alexandrians do, but he's just like, she just like, we killed one of you guys. He's like, oh yeah, we killed you too. I'm like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you, Rick? Why are you here? Go back home.
I don't understand why they keep driving this thing home to us with the trash people.
Yeah.
I you know, the more I think about it, the more I feel like even when we are done with them, we're not done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, after this ultimatum, Jadis literally laughs in his face and tells him no.
Yep.
And I love Andy's face right here. It's kind of perfect. His face is like, well, I kind of expected that.
Right. Yep.
And so Rick gets taken away by Jadis. I mean, by like the trash people. And Jadis snarks that he talks too much. Which, hilarious tweet last night by Kushanti, who was like, Rick talks too much. Have you met Negan?
Right? Like, I thought y'all talked before. That's the truth.
I know.
God, that is the God's honest truth.
Oh, also, just wanted to point out at the very beginning, there was like this parallel. I said it on Twitter last night, but in season 6, when Michonne ran off after Daryl, when Glenn and Michonne ran off after Daryl, and Rick came back to Alexandria, and she wasn't back yet, and he was waiting by the gate for her.
Mm-hmm.
It was like this cute little parallel where the people came back to Alexandria, and she was right at the gate waiting, and I was like, oh,
I know.
Look at that. Was she expecting him? Because that wasn't a part of the plan? I don't know. I don't know what we're doing, guys.
I don't think they know either. So we're all in this together.
Back at the hilltop, Maggie is musing over Glenn's watch while Gregory is in the corner and telling her that leading is hard. And it's always the people who don't lead who think they know the best, which I think is very true. And Maggie doesn't really want to hear this, and she kind of berates him for betraying them. And Gregory tells some interesting half-truths that, to me, make more sense, like, in his mind. Like, I can see how that makes sense more than I can see what a lot of people try to say. Well, if you looked at this from Negan's perspective, then blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
He calls his motives for going to the Saviors pure, which I think is bullshit.
Right.
But when you lay out the facts of his community doesn't have fighters,
mm-hmm.
his community doesn't have weapons,
mm-hmm.
and they already enlisted the help of these fighters from Alexandria who promised to clear out the threat, and they didn't. I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense to align yourself with the group that had the better chance of survival. And yeah, I was just kind of like, well, I mean, it's kind of true. There are some things that you didn't have to do that you did.
Right.
And by no means, this not pure. This was for you. And you just happened to, like, you know, if your group benefited, then that would be one thing.
But, right.
But yeah, when you think about it, you're like, what else was he going to do?
This is true.
Because I don't know that I would trust, just like the same thing we were talking about the trash people. We already trusted Rick and Daryl, and they didn't get the job done.
Nope.
So,
yeah.
You're going to come back. I'm going to come back again and say, we were really going to do it this time. Like,
That's fair. I mean, that's fair.
So I was like, you know what? All right, Gregory, you know, you can still go somewhere, but when you lay it out like that. So Gregory kind of presses and tells her that he can be the one that will let her know that it's okay to go with her gut and that she can't let wolves run around with sheep.
I think it's so interesting that he says that because it's like, oh, well, you're also kind of in that category.
Right. As soon as
he doesn't think about that.
Exactly. As soon as he said it, I was like, she's going to do something with him because that's going to make her think of him. And so that was, it's obvious, but it was also funny.
It was.
I wonder why he doesn't. Few people do, I think of themselves like that.
Right. Because, I mean, in his mind, I mean, I guess he does see it that way, like, in his version of the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you definitely didn't have to, I mean, you could, this is the thing, like, you could have played dumb. You didn't have to go and be like, they got something planned, boss, you know, something like that. So that's the thing where it's like, this would have been to your benefit too if you just would have shut up. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you went and actively betrayed is the thing that makes it different than just being like, well, I'm not going to help you, but I'm also not going to.
Right.
So I'm also not going to turn on you, because if they were gone, I would be fine with that as well. Back in Alexandria, Michonne tries to sneak off to, quote unquote, look at something.
The sanctuary.
Yeah. But she doesn't say what it is. At that point, she's just like, I just want to go look at something. And you're like, what?
Like, what you got your eye on out there?
And Rosita catches her. And after an unsuccessful attempt to get her to stay, Rosita hops in the car with Michonne. And Michonne tries to shake her. She was like, you need to stay. You're the one that was shot. And Rosita's like, I've been shot worse than this. Just drive. And she does, like, reluctantly. And one thing I do like about this episode is the fact that it's pairings that we don't see normally.
Mm-hmm. Like, agreed.
So, I mean, this is like a different Michonne. This is Rosita Michonne. Uh-huh. I shouldn't say like, because Daryl and Tara.
No.
I don't know. But it's different.
It's different.
Aaron and Enid.
Also very different.
Yeah, so I was like, well, this is interesting. Just to see people work different, like, with different people. What did you think Michonne was up to?
At that point, no idea. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you trying to... At first, I actually kind of thought she's going to go look for Rick.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was where my head was.
Okay.
What'd you think?
I kind of thought that, too, because, again, at the beginning, she looked like she didn't know that he was supposed to be out.
Right. And that was my thing, was based on her reaction, I thought, okay, she's worried that something's gone wrong with this plan that we don't know about.
Right.
And so that she's going to go try to save his ass. That's what I thought. And I'm like, well, I mean, yeah, probably need to. Probably a good idea.
Yeah. At Tara's house, outside Tara's house, Daryl is posted up on her porch until she comes out. And they both say they were looking for each other.
Which immediately, I was like, this doesn't make sense.
I know.
You were? Why? They've not had that much interaction where I felt like that made sense.
Well, I mean, once they said what it was.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just like how he was standing out there like, I was looking for you. Why did you not?
Because he's fucking weird. That's why. They didn't teach him that in finishing school, Kia.
So, yeah, Tara admits that he was right not to kill Dwight because she was the one goading him on. And she's like, you know, we wouldn't be able to get this far without him, but I still want to kill him. And once we're done with all this, I will actually want to be the one to do it. And then Daryl's like, maybe we can do it together. And maybe we can do it sooner than we thought. I was like, I don't know what this means.
Nope.
Like, from the conversation I understood, Daryl was just planning to go and toss some explosives in the sanctuary.
Yep.
Which he no longer has.
Right.
So
how are you going to do this plan?
Yeah.
Well.
Why get Tara? I mean, I know why you get Tara, because she's the one that's also like, let's kill everybody.
Yep, bloodthirsty.
Yeah, so I get that, but just y'all together just doesn't seem like the best plan.
Disaster. It has disaster written all over it.
Who's the brains of this operation?
I guess Daryl, and that's going to help a lot. Man.
This is bad. Woo, all right. So at night at the hilltop, Jesus is still outside with the saviors when he hears some construction noise and he looks through the gates and he can't really tell what's happening, but they're definitely building a structure and could be those gallows that Gregory was talking about.
Right.
Because again, Maggie said nothing's off the table. Mm-hmm. And speaking of talking, that Jersey guy starts telling his story about how he basically was just dependent on whoever could help him get fed. And he was only at that outpost because he was going to build a fence. And now his life depends on what Maggie wants to do. And Jesus was like, stop talking and stop acting like any of us are innocent. And he's like, well, I'm gonna keep talking. And he's like, what do they call you, Jesus? He's like, well, Jesus, I ain't no angel. And I think he said more after that. And I just blanked out.
I don't know what else he said. That's all I heard, too. I was like, okay, so we're going to take the cheesy route. Cool.
And then we go back to Michonne and Rosita. I don't know what day it is. The day before, the next day, same day. I don't know. Because it was just a night scene.
Yep.
So I was like, I don't know what's happening.
Also, isn't this the part where, like, now Rosita's driving?
Yeah.
What the hell?
That's what I'm just like, I don't understand.
I don't understand. I don't know if that was a continuity, like, situation, or if it was they've already made stops. Like, what?
It was so funny. I was like, why is Rosita in the driver's seat now?
I had to go back and watch it, like, two or three times. I was like, wait a minute. What? Was I, like, just dreaming this?
No.
Okay.
No, definitely. They just switched for no reason. Or maybe for a reason. I don't know.
But we're never going to be privy to it, so that's good.
That's helpful. That's what I was like, maybe it is the next day. And they had to switch seats because it's a long road trip. And I'm like, no, the Saviors aren't that far away.
No.
What is that? Okay. So, yeah. Rosita's driving. And who can ever determine the length of time on the show, but okay. And she wants to know why Michonne needed to come out there. And Michonne says as soon as everybody left, she wasn't with them, like the sirens started going off in her head. And since she helped get this started, she just wants to make sure that everything is okay. She wants to see the plan so she can go back to bed or whatever. I don't know. And then, as they're driving, Michonne hears some music playing in the distance, tells Rosita to stop the car. They get out, leave the car in the middle of the road. I was like, you couldn't have pulled off to the side. This just looks so suspicious.
Every bit of it.
Why would you just leave it in the middle of the road? And so they go to check on the sound. And they're like, I don't think this can reach the sanctuary, but we're not sure. Let's look at it. And they walk through some trees and find this like huge ass building that they apparently never knew about before. I was like, this is literally down the street. And you just never looked here before.
You mean Aaron never saw that? And just ventures out to find more people like, and Daryl.
Yeah.
I guess Daryl definitely didn't say, what's Daryl doing?
This building is too big.
What the hell?
This building is too big for them not to have seen this before. It's also filled with guns and things. Weren't they looking for guns?
Yep.
You just didn't see that down the street?
Nope, but they sure found Oceanside. That we still hadn't seen again. So, cool.
So, yeah, they're like, here we go. It's an adventure. Oh, God. So now we check in with Carl.
Oh, God.
Who was wearing a completely different outfit from when we saw him earlier.
I'm still so confused on the timing of everything that's happening.
Somehow he has now found the man that Rick shot at in the premiere in the woods somewhere. That's what I'm like, this didn't happen. This didn't happen during the sequence of the episode. There's no way.
And if it did, why? Like, I don't understand.
I don't know either. Also, maybe it did because it's the next day, or maybe not.
Right. We have no idea.
I don't think it did. I don't think it did. What? So, was he looking for this guy?
That's how I took it.
So, what does he, is he a tracker? Like, how did he find? That's how I'm convinced that this did not happen in the way it was presented.
Right. It doesn't make sense. Yeah. I agree.
And so this guy, his name's Sadiq, and Carl brings him food and water, even though he definitely already brought him food in episode one.
Yep.
And Sadiq saw it because he was peeking through the bushes. And so they you know, meet up, and Sadiq's like, he wants to know why Carl is doing all this, and it's the shared bond of basically trying to live up to the words that their mother told them. And I was like, how very Batman versus Superman of them, like,
right? Like,
are they both named Lori? Like,
oh god.
So Carl mentions their community, and Sadiq kind of was like, oh, community. And Carl asked him the questions, and I was like, I'm sorry, are you authorized to do this at all? Who told you?
I don't know, but I went back to Carl, get in the house.
Yeah, I mean,
get in the house, Carl.
We're in the middle of war. Maybe not. Again,
who knows?
But we're in a hostile time, and you just gonna take in some strangers?
I just feel like he took Michonne real serious when she said this was his show now. It's like, no, we didn't mean it like that, baby. Like, you know, like more figuratively speaking, like, yeah. Not you should go out and try to find people.
Yeah. Again, I don't know that this has happened sequentially. So, and I'm pretty sure that's what I'm sticking with. This did not happen in order, the order that was presented. So, Carl asked him the questions, and he says he has killed 237 walkers, very specific, one person, and he only killed that person because the walkers tried to kill him, didn't quite finish their job. And Carl's like, you're making walker traps, I see. And Sadiq admits that he has killed so many walkers because his mom believed that killing them would free their souls. And it may make it harder to survive, like, because you're drawing walkers to you. Mm-hmm. But he wants to honor his parents. He's like, you got to honor your parents, right? And Carl's like, I don't believe in that shit. come on, let's go back to my community.
Right? Yeah. Like, okay.
So what's your read on this guy?
Well, based on this entire scene, I felt that he's probably going to be a liability.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you're out here making walker traps, though the sentiment is very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Stop. I mean, your heart's in the right place, but, you know, like, sometimes mama don't know best. I mean, let's just hope that maybe their souls are released without that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Eric's out here. Still trapped. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like he's a liability. I don't know that he's a bad guy,
mm-hmm.
but I definitely feel like he's a liability.
Yeah. I don't think I trust him just because it doesn't make sense.
No, it definitely doesn't. I don't trust anybody at this point, like, except for, like, Rick and Michonne. and mostly Maggie. Well, not 100%, though. Like, right now she's doing cool, but, like, I'm like, mm-mm.
I don't know if you should trust Rick and Michonne either, because they are trash in this episode.
Yeah.
Well, like, maybe I'll Jerry. Trust nobody. Just Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry. Well, I don't know. He didn't tell her the damn door was open. Oh, it's open. The hell? And also, why didn't you try to open the door?
There's that.
Anyway.
So, yeah. So, back in the woods, Henry is doing battle with some walkers. Like, okay.
Uh-huh.
And Carol sees him. She's pissed that he's out there after she told him to stay home. And this kid is, like, about it. He's like, I'm not scared. And he was like, you need people. I need to fight the people to kill my brother. So, what's the problem? I'm like, dang, kid, you're, like, 10 years old. He's like, say something.
10 going on 25.
Little Carl in the making.
Little serial killer. Now, this one is the serial killer right here. Like, he's bloodthirsty. He's looking for revenge. He's like, revenge will be mine. I am Henry, brother of Benjamin the Doomed.
And she gives him a gun. She's like, well, you can't just have this stick.
Get it, kid.
Yeah. The next morning at Hilltop, maybe the next morning. Yeah, it is the next morning because they were building that thing. Again, right. I'm just like, don't know what time of day. I think Hilltop experiences like a 12-hour day.
Uh-huh.
And on the road, it's just endless.
Yep.
So I don't know if it's the same day or not. But Enid tells Jesus to bring all the saviors inside, and he's kind of dreading it. But he's relieved when it turns out that they were building, like, a jail for them. And Maggie tells them that they are keeping the prisoners there, and they're not going to mistreat them, but they expect nothing but total compliance from them. And Gregory is like, how can you even let people you don't trust amongst you? And she's like, speaking of that, then Cal and Eduardo grab him by either arm and start to force him into this chicken coop jail. And Eduardo, man, he needs a body cam because he just throws Gregory up against head first into this wooden post. I'm like, what's your badge number, man? You can't be doing that. So then, like, Gregory's like, no, I didn't do anything.
He is, like, sobbing. I know. And it is hilarious.
He's bleeding from the head.
No. Oh, it's great.
And so, yeah, he gets drug into there, and Dirty Hipster Savior is, like, chuckling at all this. But when he notices Diane put her gun in her holster without securing it, he runs and tries to grab it, but Maggie used the butt of her gun to attack him before he can. She just knocks him down, and he says some slick shit again, and then she knocks him out again. Like, she uses it to knock him out. It's like, well, girl, that's how you gotta do it. I thought you expected total compliance from
them. That's right. And why didn't you just shoot him?
Shoot him. Yeah.
Because that's what I would have done. Honestly, I'd have been like, ah, nope.
Right.
And then that sets the precedence of this is what we expect. And if we don't get it, this is what happens.
Right.
Cool. Cool.
And I mean, Jesus already knows this guy tried to run away before. He's like, yep. Probably should have told her he's the problem one.
Yep.
But no.
Why would probably should have just killed him to begin with. I mean,
that's what Morgan tried to do. Morgan tried to tell y'all. But
and now y'all going to send him off to fear. And I'm just like, I don't understand.
Yeah. Like I said, they're just not doing anything with his character.
They're not. So. And I just don't have faith that they're going to do anything with his character there either. And
but at least it'll be better. I mean, actually, I have no idea. I don't watch it, but Lenny James has to be the best actor on there. When he goes over.
Oh, for sure.
So.
By a long shot.
Yeah. So, I mean, even if he's still dealing with the trash that he's dealing with over here, he's going to make it look good, at least.
Yeah.
So. Carl and Sadiq are walking back to Alexandria. I guess they're walking somewhere when they hear walkers. And they go to check it out, see them feasting on a deer. It's deer,
you
man.
You know it's a bad sign. The second that deer shows up.
Yep.
Like, so which one y'all is going to die?
Carl's like, let's go kill him, you know, for your mom. And they go for it, and more walkers come out of the woodwork, and Carl gets thrown on his back. He fights off a bunch of them, not well, but he ends up getting away. And when he gets up, he looks dazed. He looks weird.
Yep.
Like, he looks disoriented. And he's like, I'm okay. But I'm responsible for you now. And even though my dad doesn't want you there, sometimes kids have to find their own way to show their parents. I was like, what does this mean?
What?
I was like, what happened to Carl? He just got up. So he looked so weird when he got up.
Yeah. Like, did he, do we think maybe, surely not, right? Surely he didn't get like scratched or bit or something that we didn't see, right?
Maybe.
Oh.
Maybe. I don't know. Again, I can't really tell what is the, like, what's the writing, what's the direction, or what's, like, just a bad interpretation of what, like, a bad acting interpretation of what it means to just, like, get up like that.
Right.
Because it could have just, I mean, Chandler could have just did a, like, a bad take. And they just didn't do it again.
Right.
Or it could have been the director been like, that's what I need exactly. So.
We want you to look as disoriented as possible so that nobody knows what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
Nailed it. Nailed it.
So, yeah. That's the just the frustrating thing. I was like, I just feel like when people, you could be the best actor. And if you are like poorly directed, then what am I watching? Because then stuff doesn't right. make sense, or I take your reaction to being something that it wasn't supposed to, but because sure. somebody didn't go cut, that's not what I wanted.
Right.
Then I'm sitting there like, oh, so what? Yeah. I feel like it just happened so many times on this show where I can't trust. There are some things where I can't trust, like, reactions and things to be authentic. I just like, I don't know. We'll see.
Indeed we will. Because, I guess we're keeping this guy. So that's cool.
Yeah. So, when do you think you're going to see old man Rick again?
Who knows? We may never see him again, for all I know. Who knows? Based on this timeline. Also, All Out War might be going on feasibly for another 2 years, because we're clearly never going to get to the end of it.
Yeah.
I'm so salty about this war shit.
I was salty last week, and I realized it wasn't going to end by the mid-season finale.
Oh, it's definitely not going to end by then. It may not end by the season finale, honestly, at this point. Because it's just, like, what are we doing? What are we doing here? Who is this guy? Why do we care? Why aren't we killing the saviors right now? Why is Rick naked in the trash pile? I don't understand. What are we doing? I'm getting way ahead of myself here, but I'm just...
Yeah. So Rosita and Michonne enter this building where the music is, and they hear a couple saviors recapping what they saw at the sanctuary. The woman savior, her name's Zia, she says that whatever Rick the Prick did, it can be undone with the fat lady, which I heard them talking about the fat lady last episode, but I didn't say anything because I was like, I don't care.
Right. it did not seem important to me either.
So if it is, then we'll remember it. But Fat Lady's just a bunch of speakers in the back of a truck that they can use to draw walkers away if it is necessary at any point. Which seems smart.
Yeah.
Zia's hair is fabulous.
It is.
I think it's weave. I think when I looked at it closer, I was like, that might not be. Coming out your head. It's fine. But I was just like, what did she do? Then I was like, oh, she bought it. Michonne and Rosita, they sneak up closer, but Michonne accidentally kicks a tennis ball, which, what are the odds? What are the odds that they just got a bunch of tennis balls on the ground? So this alerts them to someone's presence, and they see Rosita first. And while she runs away, she drops her gun. And it spins underneath a shelf. Like, okay. You just dropped your gun. Oh, come on, Rosita.
Yeah.
And this other guy, this other savior, his name's Leo, he starts whistling as Rosita's looking for something to fight with. Michonne has her gun out, gets knocked out of her hand by Zia, and they engage in, like, hand-to-hand combat. Which is clearly not what Michonne needed at this point.
Nope.
And she is injured, clearly, because, like, she gets doubled over by something, but she's still holding her own. And she yells for Rosita to stop Leo, and Rosita does with an RPG. He's like, she corners him, and he's like, baby girl, you are not going to use that.
And you have not met her.
And she fires a rocket at him, and he literally explodes. Like, this is crazy. Like, did his body just absorb the rocket? Shouldn't it have gone further? It just got to him, and it just disintegrated. I'm like, shouldn't that stuff go through walls or something?
I would have thought. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? But I loved it.
I am pretty sure a rocket launcher does not get stopped by a human body. No. Bullets don't.
No, it would have turned it. I mean, well, it turned him to pink mist, and that was it. I mean, yeah, but it should have gone further.
Yeah. And it's just stuff like that where you're like, we're like, what the hell?
But it was great. It was great. I loved that.
It would be better if it was realistic. That's my thing. Agreed. That's my thing. Like, why can't you just put a hole through the wall? It looks stupid. Like, it was funny, but it was, like, great to the point of being stupid. Like, that was my thing. And I love that Rosita has, like, the balls to do that because she like doesn't give a shit. That's what I love, but I'm just like, so it just, I'm like, where'd Rocket go?
Where's the rest of it? You got a dud. I mean, maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was a dud. I'm giving them way more credit than they deserve because you know that's not what it was, but.
All right. And so Michonne and Z are just like staring at this explosion for like 5 minutes, and it gives her time, Zia time to run away and drive off with the fat lady. I'm like, Michonne, what are you doing?
What? Thank you. Like, I just don't feel like that would have actually been what would have happened. I just feel like that would have been that split second she'd have been like, "Wacha!"
Yeah.
With her sword.
Yeah. I think that she should have, yes, attacked her.
That's where I felt like it was missing for me. Because, like, she wouldn't have done that. We know Michonne. That's not what Michonne would have done. No.
I don't know. I may be giving Michonne too much credit. I gotta go back. Like, the more I'm thinking about it, the more I'm just like, huh. We'll see. It was a dumb tactical mistake anyway, but at the same time, I'm just like, she was not prepared for this.
No. Either. And also, this should have probably not happened. The whole thing.
Yeah.
Them going out. Like, the whole thing. Like, it probably shouldn't have. I do, in hindsight, I realize, I think it's just that I'm still so salty over what happened with Michonne before, and I was just like, no, how are you going to let this happen? No. I believe she would have struggled with the lady just simply because she's injured. But that was the moment where I was like, so she's really not going to like slice that knife through her skull. Like, really? She's not.
You're right. That's dumb. Yeah.
It didn't make sense. Dumb. Yeah. I just feel like our Michonne would have just sliced her up and that would have been it. She'd have been a shish kebab.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to go back and look now because I'm just like, who has she fought? Thought like a person.
The governor?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is that it?
No. Mm-mm. Because didn't she also, what were those guys? The child molesters? The guys that Daryl was running with for a minute?
She shot them, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it wasn't really hand-to-hand combat as much. But a little.
Yeah, I gotta think about this.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, definitely she's a badass with walkers, clearly.
For sure.
And I'm just wondering if we're just like, oh, she just does the same thing to people.
This is also true.
And that might not be true.
She's not great with a gun. We do know that. I love you, Michonne. Oh, I love you so much. But no, girl, that ain't it.
No.
That ain't the thing.
Yeah.
Who else have we encountered? So, yeah... Not Terminus, because that was mostly, like, that was not it.
Yeah, and the termites they had on their knees.
Right.
So
that's not a fair one.
No.
But the governor, she tore him up. Okay? So.
Yeah, we should think about that more, because now I'm just like, maybe not. Maybe not.
You know what?
Doesn't if the take Walking any Dead
can live in delusion, so can I.
Doesn't take anything away from Michonne, but now I'm just thinking, maybe I shouldn't have expected that from you, because I don't know. Zia is driving away with Fat Lady, and Rosita and Michonne watch her drive away. They run after her, but clearly they can't catch up with a truck. And then a garbage truck comes out of nowhere, T-bones her. And I laughed at that.
Me too.
I was like, what?
Like, oh, okay.
And of course it's Daryl's ass with Tara. And Daryl and Tara get out, shoot Zia, make sure she's dead. And then they meet up with Michonne and Rosita, and they're like, so what are you guys doing out here? They explain. And then they're like, so what are you guys doing out here? They're like, we got some work to do.
Like, don't y'all want more of an explanation than that?
Yeah. Because none of this was in the plan.
Who knows what was in the fucking plan? Who knows?
Back at the kingdom, Carol is sick of banging on the door to talk to Ezekiel, so she goes to shoot it down. But just before she does, Jerry's like, dude, it's not locked.
This whole thing, why? Number one, why didn't you try to open the door, Carol?
Yeah.
Is that what we're working with now? We don't do very commonsensical things. Also, Jerry, why wouldn't you be like, yo, it's open?
Yeah.
Before now. Like, y'all are doing a lot right now.
Just to have a funny moment, I guess.
It was funny, yeah. But it was also like, really?
Dude, it's open. And so she walks in to the theater, and Ezekiel's in his throne room, and he's sitting on the floor dejectedly. But before she can even say anything, he tells her that he can't do what she wants him to do. And he's being very hard on himself. He's like, I played a part where the stakes were people's lives, and I still did it. And now I can't. And he's like, you know, just leave me alone. And she starts to walk away, but then she stops, comes back, and she asks why he kept visiting her. And he's like, I just want to make sure you're okay. She was like, okay, I was clearly okay. So why did you really keep coming? And he admits that she made him feel real and not a fiction. And she's just smiling with tears in her eyes. And she tells him that he's real to her and he's real to the kingdom and they need him. And she's like, Ezekiel's like, well, you could lead. And she's like, no, it has to be you because you inspired them and now you owe it to them to help them grieve, to move on and to end this whole thing. And she's like, they need their king. And if you can't be their king, then you have to act like it. You have to play the part. And then she says she has to act every day and she acts like everything is normal and she's going to keep doing that until it is. And he's still just like broken. He's like, I can't. I love this. This is the best part of the episode.
Yeah.
Like, I love that scene between them and I love the vulnerability between them.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, we talked about this. Like, we talked about how Carol puts on that, whatever she does, like she puts on this persona. She puts on this persona. We're like, does she even know who the fuck she is? And that was kind of gratifying to hear her be like, yeah, I know that I act.
Yes.
And I do it because I need to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that was awesome.
I loved it.
Yeah.
And my little Carzekiel shipping heart was real happy. I was very excited.
Yeah.
Because I feel like she really cares about him. Mm-hmm. I love, like, when she said, you know, you're real to me. And I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yes. I liked it.
It was very good. It was just like, man, y'all just couldn't just, okay. Just couldn't do this whole episode, huh?
That's asking a lot.
Yeah. Good dialogue. That's crazy. I love that Ezekiel is so extra. Like, why are you in the throne room holding the chain?
Because he misses Shiva.
I guess.
He's missing Shiva. I think that's what it is. It's like, that's where he's going, like, to deal with his man pain is to hold the thing he has left of Shiva.
In the throne
her
room?
Her chain. Well, I imagine that's where she was most of the time, other than her cage.
Yeah.
I guess he could have gone to her cage.
Yeah. Or something. When he in her room one time. I might have made that up.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I'm just,
I don't know.
It just seems like a lot.
It was. But, it was, I mean, I guess it just drove home the point of the thing with Shiva is what I felt like they were trying to do.
Yeah. I feel like he could have had her chain in a bedroom, like normal people, and I would have gotten it. It was just
sure,
like,
yeah.
He was just like on the stage. I was like, oh, Ezekiel.
All the world's a stage.
I was like, you weren't acting the whole time.
Nope.
I was like, you got a little extra in you. Because this is, it was just funny to me. Like, oh, all right.
I mean, if you're going to really get on board with this whole, like, king thing, you got to be a little extra at least, right? So,
yeah.
No. It makes sense, I guess.
Yes, it is. But he was really trying to be like, no, I'm just a man. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yet he smiles.
Back at the hilltop, Jared is just like standing casually by the gate when Jersey guy just bumps into him and knocks a rock out of his hand. And he's like, I'm not going to let you get us killed. Jared's like, you think they're going to kill us? I think if we wait, this place will be ours. That guy didn't say anything. He was just looking like, I was like,
Don't go getting any ideas.
Yeah. And Gregory is just sitting in the corner looking around shiftily like,
how can I play this to my advantage? I know. Have I found new loyal subjects?
Or he may use that to get back in with Maggie. I don't know.
Probably not.
I don't know. Because Maggie's inside and he's not. So.
Also, this seems like a really weak prison.
That's what I'm saying. It was like chicken coop.
It jail. Really was. Yeah, like I feel like you need a lot of people guarding that thing.
Yeah.
Because it would be nothing for them to just barrel it down.
Yeah. There were a lot of people out there. True. I just don't know.
How long are they going to stay there?
Exactly. Inside, Aaron is talking about, you know, how much he misses Eric. He has all this heartbreak. He has his weight on him. He's like, I think Eric's still around. And I was like, you know, this conversation just seems a little premature for the length of time that Eric has actually been dead.
Approximately, like, maybe 27 hours.
Maybe. Or minutes. I don't know.
Well, we figure if day turned to night while they were doing the chicken coop, so
yeah,
that they've it's been at least like maybe 12 hours,
maybe
16.
Yeah, it just I was
like, it is.
I just feel this weight on me. Does it ever get easier? I'm like, well, can I give it more than a day, man?
I feel like this should have been something they were talking about like months later.
Yeah.
Also, Maggie's super cute holding Gracie. And yeah. I was like, I didn't think about that. I didn't even think about that as an option. I was like, yeah, let's give the baby to Aaron. Sounds like a good idea. But yeah, Maggie's good too.
I mean, Maggie has a baby.
Yeah.
Let's let Maggie have her baby before we give her one.
I agree. But I mean, like, who knows? I mean, maybe everybody can just take turns. We can just all keep Gracie.
Yeah. Or just give her to Aaron. It's fine. I think Maggie with Gracie made me be like, when are you having your baby?
When are you going to start showing?
Yeah.
Never. This is going to be like immaculate conception pregnancy. What the hell?
Okay. All right. So, yeah, she's telling Aaron she knows how it feels. And he was like, it's never going to get easier. And Maggie's like, well, it helps if you're doing something. And so Jesus comes in. He thanks Maggie for doing the right thing and keeping the prisoner. She's like, don't thank me yet. And she's like, I'm only keeping them in case we need to use them as a bargaining chip for our people in case something happens. But she's like, if it never comes to that, they can't live, Jesus. And I was like, okay, Maggie.
Yes.
I like that. I like because it's only... according to Rick, ostensibly, it's only going to be 2 days. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Okay.
But, I mean, I like that. I like that there's a kind of like a timeline on it. It's not going to be just indefinitely like, okay, we're done in 2 days. So they're about to be dead. I mean, clearly they're not going to be done in 2 days. But I like
right.
That's where she... That's what she's using as her reasoning.
Because Maggie is sticking to some plan that we are not privy to.
After this, Aaron gets up, leaves the big house, and goes outside. Enid follows him. She wants to come with him, whatever he's doing, because he's going to make sure that they win. And he's like, okay, go get your stuff. And I'm like, what are you doing, Aaron?
And some food. Yeah. I'm like... And he's like, we might be gone a while. Okay, so did you not bring yourself some food if you were going to be gone a while? What?
This is new. This is not a part of whatever. Yeah, this is not part of plan. This is something else. So no, he didn't bring any food because he wasn't planning on doing this. So whatever that is. I don't care. That's the thing that's bad. I'm like, I don't.
It's just somebody else breaking off
yeah.
and doing a thing.
Yep.
It doesn't make sense that you are in quote unquote battle and you're all separating.
Yeah.
That makes no sense at all because you need numbers. This is stupid.
And the only way you have to communicate with each other is through letter.
In a microwave.
Yeah.
So I don't believe that that's what Maggie meant when she said you needed to do something. Like, was there nothing that you could do there? Was there no, like, could you have trained some people to fight? Or, I don't know, make yourself useful, take care of the baby, or...
Yeah.
Something.
I don't know. And I don't know what Aaron... What skills does Aaron have?
Well, he's got great hair.
Yeah, he does. I mean, Aaron's a capable fighter. He is. I don't want to, like, diminish but it just doesn't... I didn't know he was... Is he tactical?
Right. I don't know that I would say, oh, let's send him off by himself to complete a mission. Or that I would send myself off if I was Aaron.
I think I would, but I wouldn't be like, Aaron, it's a do-it-yourself mission, just whatever you feel...
Right.
Is the best course. We don't really need to know.
No.
Just do it yourself. And
plans. Plans are good, but we're not good at plans here.
Yeah. Or maybe we are. Maybe we're the best at plans. Mm. And all this is a plan.
Sure.
Just outside the sanctuary, the garbage truck pulls up and Daryl passes the telescope for Michonne so she can see what she needs to see. And Rosita ask what they need her and Michonne for, and Daryl's like, to end this thing now. Which I don't know what that means. Daryl, weren't you supposed to be like time and Rick to make sure?
Well, he's gonna get this mission done real quick so he can go get Rick. Yeah, no.
Does he even know how long Rick's been gone?
Nope. I mean, I don't think so.
That's my whole point. Like, you're literally supposed to be like, okay, Rick, you're supposed to be back by.
It's like sundown or something. Yeah. I don't know. Who knows?
But he's off in a garbage truck.
And I am really frustrated that Michonne's in this truck. I'm just like, this is like the truck to nowhere. This is a bad idea, and I don't want her involved in this. You're not at 100%, Michonne. This is not good.
Get a ride back. You and Rosita just need to leave. Like...
I mean, I would expect it of Rosita in the sense of, like, you know, she has to do is hear revenge. Yep, I'm here. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, no.
Yeah. I think this is me projecting. I feel like Rosita has grown a bit for that whole Sasha thing.
Yes.
Because where she let, well, I guess Sasha made that decision for her, but it was mm-hmm. like, you know, Sasha made that decision for her as far as closing her out of the gate. But yes. Rosita made that decision not to tell anybody. So it's like where she did let Sasha just be on her own there and only told when they forced her to do it. She didn't let Michonne go on her own.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be growth. Hopefully, I that's how I'm choosing to see it until I see it otherwise. But yeah, I'm thinking Rosita. I don't want Rosita in this truck either.
I don't think any of this needs to be going down.
No, it doesn't. But I'm just like, if the truck of stupid is going to go down, then just have it be Daryl and Tara.
Yes. And because, I mean, they should know now. Like, okay, guys, you guys are clearly not up to par right now. Let's maybe just reconvene on this later. Let's just be like, hey, this is probably not a good idea right now. Let's take a couple days and sleep on it or whatever. I don't know. This is not Daryl.
Oh, Daryl.
It's his fault.
Always. We get a shot of a person's feet walking around in Rick's boots, but it's clearly not Rick. And it's motherfucking Jadis.
Yeah, it is.
Just stomping around. And she goes to like some industrial dumpster and puts an A on it. And I'm like, again, here we go. Here we go with this A.
Yep.
Does this have a connection to with the jumpsuit, the sweatsuit that Daryl was wearing?
You would think, but what it is, I don't know.
I don't know if it does. Did they know? Did they know Negan at that point?
Great question.
I don't think they did.
But otherwise, why with the continuous A is my question.
I think,
in general.
I kind of think they think they're being smart.
Well.
The A stamp in Alexandria. Yep. I just think they think it's like, isn't this a fun calling card? So you can think about the last time A. Like, last time Rick was in something that had A on it, they were fucking with the wrong people. This time, he's naked and sweaty.
Still fucking bound. With the wrong people.
Naked, different sweaty, situation. And bound on the ground.
I mean,
hey, that's the sweat. The sweat was a visual I wasn't expecting. I was like, that's not bad. I mean, the way he got there, clearly.
Not here for that.
Yeah, but I was like, ooh, sweaty.
Sweaty and naked. All right.
I was like, all right.
Again. Well. Yeah, but the Jadis and his boots, I was just like, I quit. I just quit.
Yeah.
Why? Why?
Why was she naked in the beginning? Why is he naked now? I don't. There's
what
so
was
many.
The point? Yeah, what is the point of that? Can you not hold him captive, fully clothed? Like, I don't want you looking at his man parts. I don't want y'all trash people like seeing him naked. I don't like that.
I know.
I mean, I'm fine with it for us, but I'm not fine with it for them. I'm like, no, Because you know they saw it. You know, like, what's that guy's name that she's palling around with? And then Tamiel, everybody's out here seeing Rick's man parts. And I'm like, I don't want y'all seeing Rick's man parts.
I know.
Stop.
Oh, my goodness.
Shit.
I just don't get it. I don't understand.
I just, like, don't even know what to expect going forward at this point. I mean, obviously we saw, like, you know, the previews or whatever, but I'm just like, this means nothing to me.
Exactly. That's the thing. This means nothing.
Okay. Do you have any other thoughts on the episode?
No.
Okay. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Death toll. I don't know, man. I don't know where we are. I just feel like somebody's got to be watching Judith because ain't nobody else doing it because they're all out here doing shit. Eric's dead. So.
Oh, Carl may be there.
But we have no idea. Like in that time space continuum that we are so confused about. Like, was this happening now? Was this happening 5 years from now? Like, what the hell?
Yeah. I mean, I already said my thing. I think Carl's still in Alexandria.
So. I sure hope so. Because otherwise it is like the Walking Dead writers have been listening to our podcast. They're like, oh, Melissa and Key have got it. They're fine. They've got Judith. So we don't have to worry about actually writing this in.
Yeah.
But yeah, how do you feel about how that you would have fared the episode?
Nothing happened.
Yeah. I think we're still there waiting to fulfill the plan. That nobody knows about. All right. So we had some feedback from the episode. This one comes from Claire. She says, okay, I'm tired, grumpy, a bit hungover, and it's cold. I'm hoping all these things are reasons why this week's episode pissed me off. Here are the things I liked. Michonne being back. Carl and Sadiq in the woods, especially when Carl asked the three questions. It felt like good old Walking Dead. Carol and Ezekiel having a bit of a moment. As I've said before, I don't like Carol, but that scene will maybe put a nail in the coffin of the ship that shall not be named. As for the rest, I'm sick and tired of our characters doing stupid things just to stretch out each episode. So let me get this straight. Now we have Rick alone, Daryl and Tara alone, along with Michonne and Rosita, who also went off alone, and Aaron and Edith alone. Why every season must they split everyone up? Have they no other ideas? Did Michonne and Rosita really have to stop when they heard the music? That was never going to be anything but trouble. Why did the Lady Savior who Michonne fought have such nice hair? Why is it so lustrous and healthy looking? I washed mine this morning and haven't been in a zombie apocalypse and it doesn't look as good. It's these details that are so fucking annoying and could easily be removed, easily be resolved if anyone involved in this used their brain. Why was so much time taken up on with the random savior talking to Jesus? Don't care. Move on. Why do the characters not speak to each other normally? For example, hey, Daryl, where's Rick, the love of my life? Weren't you with him? Oh, Michonne, I should have told you, Rick has gone off on his own to see that weird trash woman that wanted to bang him. Sorry, I haven't mentioned that before. Do you think we should go and rescue him and then come up with a proper plan instead of having various arguments in the middle of it? Yes, Daryl, let's do that. Don't even start me on the trash people. So stupid. What was the point of Jadis wearing nothing but an apron? I mean, lots of us would love to keep Andy naked for our own personal use, but I feel like the whole thing is doing a disservice to some really good actors that the show has. What else can I moan about? Oh, yes. Carol being mean to another child. Wow, I haven't seen that recently. What an original concept. We know she screwed up about Sophia. That has been made clear over and over and over. I'm assuming that since he's been speaking to Carol, Benjamin's brother will also now die. Good. He's an annoying brat. Why must all these random kids in the zombie apocalypse have bowl haircuts? Oh, and if you were going to take out all the saviors, would Tara really be the one you would ask to help you? Tara is so going to die this season. I like her. She's klutzy and ditzy, but that is exactly why you don't bring her on a mission with you. Gimple needs to go. Clearly he peaked when he blessed us with Rashone, so it's time for him to piss off and ruin some other show. The writers need to go. Everyone needs to go except for Andy, Denai, and Norman, because that's the only people I care about. I'm so cross. Bye. Claire. Claire with a period at the end. Like, I mean, she's very finite about the whole thing. Tell us how you really feel. I mean, I couldn't tell.
Claire, whatever you're doing that allows you to watch the show in time to send us feedback,
right?
Like,
because she was the first one. You were the first one, Claire.
Yes, I saw.
Dang.
I'm like, yeah, keep doing that.
I know.
Because other times she's like, oh, it hasn't aired yet. I'm like, what you got going
right
over there? Keep doing it.
Oh, man. Yeah. Okay. And this one's coming from our girl Keon with the subject all out frustrating. I hear that. Hi, ladies. So I guess on one hand, we should be thankful that spoiler didn't play out exactly as stated. But on the other hand, we still had to suffer through garbage ass crack and Jadis and Rick's boots. If I had to sum up this episode in one word, it would be frustrating. So we start with them hearing from Rick's war report letter that the plan is working and they would meet up in 2 days to finish things. But now we have like 6 people on rogue missions. Still wondering where this Carl stuff is happening on the timeline. Hippy-dippy Kung Fu Paul thinks it's smart to just talk about the secret sellers of food and other intel right in front of the enemies. What is his long-term plan for these prisoners? Does he have a rehabilitation program he hasn't told anyone about? Really taking his nickname too serious. He is canceled. Poor Margie. She has to... Oh, poor Maggie. Poor Maggie. She has to deal with Gregory. Prisoner of wars and babysit Gracie. Can nobody else at the Hilltop do anything? And not to be a broken record, but this shit with the garbage people is just too dumb. I think we have actually had the same scene with Jadis and Rick 3 times. The exact same scene. Rick stating to join us. We will win. Jadis saying no. Her doing something to fuck over Rick. It's so ridiculous. The rooster has crowed, Rick. It's time to dust your boots of these people. Side note, Michonne needs a new cat and he needs new boots because Jadis has touched both. But really, what part does he need them to play? Seems like the plan that they have refused to let us in on is to go back to the sanctuary and get the saviors to surrender or kill them. So what role would the garbage people play in helping? Why was his plan to go by himself with the track record with them? Has anyone even asked the question about the 10 whatever the deal she made with Negan was and how she viewed that as a better deal to them than the third of goods Rick offered. Sick of them giving Daryl most of the good kills in the war. Did the Daryl lovers need this much service? How was Daryl just right there to stop that truck? Maybe they're trying to counter his stupidity with him with giving him all the save the day moments or trying to get us to forget he got Glenn killed. But we will never forget. Him and Tara can't wait the 2 days Rick is talking about to execute the rest of the plan. Makes no sense. I think it's possible Maggie has put Gregory in central lockup as a possible spy. I cackled when he was doing all the crying and begging when he was getting locked up. All the callbacks for callback's sake is aggravating. Carl and all this talk about his mom. I swear if we get Ghost Lori, I might throw something at the TV. I don't like how they have done Michonne at all. Again, it's like the writers forget the characters they have built. This, the same woman who dropped down out of a tree and sliced two men's heads off and was taking on another two men and walkers, fought the governor in hand-to-hand combat. So sorry, she would have sliced this chick in half in no time. The whole purpose for leaving Alexandria wasn't believable. She just wanted to see. She just left Judith and Carl there with basically randoms because everybody else is gone. Or if the Carl stuff is in this time frame, there is literally nobody in Alexandria we can name except Judith, Tobin, and Scott. Feels like this is a setup for everyone to be out of Alexandria when something bad happens. More what the fuck moments. Michonne stepping so quietly and cat-like but kicks the damn tennis ball. Rosita appears to drop her gun for no reason, then has to kill one guy with an RPG. Then it hit him and he disappeared. Wouldn't it have blown a hole in the building? If they didn't have the money to do this right, couldn't they have just gone old school and she kill him with a cool badass headshot? Seems to be wasting all the good war materials on foolishness. Looking ahead. So, Lenny is leaving. Are they going to kill him off for Fear the Walking Dead? What a waste. And pretty spoilery for the Walking Dead viewers. Maybe they'll have him just wander the woods trying to find his balance. Either way, it stinks. Scene from next week has Eugene needing to make a decision. I still think he helps the Saviors get out of their predicament and things get really dicey for Dwight. So there is supposedly a plan if Rick is not back in time from the trash heap, but how is this true if they are all out there on these rogue missions? We have 2 episodes left before the break. Think we will get any more answers to that, to what we saw in the premiere with old man Rick, sick/crying Rick? I smell some type of cliffhanger coming. Ew.
It'll probably be in the finale.
I really don't think we're going to see anything about it in the next couple of episodes.
I'm in the mid-season. I think it'll probably come up in the mid-season.
You think?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I did like it when Gregory called him Kung Fu Jesus.
That was pretty great.
And then he kicked the chair accidentally. Was like, ooh. Whoops.
All right. And this one's coming from Ashley. Y'all, I have questions, some of which you've probably answered by now, but I'm confused. 1, are the writers okay? Did they get a pay cut? Is this a result of the impending writer's strike at the start of the season? Did they just put down the first thing that came to mind so they could get it all done quickly? Why are they doing this to us? 2, why did Michonne look so perplexed when Scott handed over the note with the war update? Does she know the plan or not? Did that fight just really mess with her brain? All of her choices were so questionable in this episode. 3, is Aaron a part of the Hilltop now? So folks just go to Hilltop and never come back? How much space do they have there? And how do they think that makes Rick feel? I feel like Alexandria is way better than the other places. Is that just me?
No, I also agree.
They clearly don't care about Rick.
I guess not. 4, Michonne was driving when they left Alexandria. Why was Rosita driving the next time we see them? 5A, why the fuck hasn't anyone killed Jared yet? He's asking for it at this point. 5B, that savior that's trying to act like he has sense is going to kill everyone, right? 6, who did the lighting for this episode? There was one particular scene in broad daylight where you can barely even see Michonne. What's going on here? Is that the director's job? Why is it all so bad? Help. 7, why the fuck is Jadis wearing Rick's boots? Who approved this? Who approved any of this? 8, is it okay to cry because you hate everything your favorite show is doing, but you love Andy and Danai so you don't want to leave it? okay, I think that's it. That's not it, but it's enough. Can't wait to dive into your recap, which is honestly like therapy when this show drives me crazy. Thanks, ladies, from Ashley.
Listen, I am very actively like, get Andy and I off the show.
Yeah.
Like, I want to miss seeing them every week. That's really just like me selfishly missing seeing them every week. But this is garbage.
It's terrible. And I don't want to like, and I'm not trying to be super, I feel like I've gotten really negative with everything lately, mm-hmm. but I kind of feel like it's warranted.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, when it's good, it's good. When it's good, it's great. But this is terrible.
Yeah. Also, Gimple talking about the old man Rick. He says, I will say we won't know exactly what that's about after the first episode, but we will know it about halfway through the season.
Welp. All right, then. But when's this war going to be over, Gimple? That's what I want to know. When is this going to be done? I'm tired.
What does that say? So they're like, I'm reading this article from Entertainment Weekly.
Okay.
So it sounds like we'll get our first taste of Old Man Rick in the season 8 premiere, the mid-season finale, or around that time could be a time when full answers will be delivered, although Nicotero may offer up a clue with his comments. It's always fun to get a chance to think about where the show is going and where the characters are going. And comic book spoiler. Comic book spoiler. Okay. So he's saying to just be able to give a little bit of a hint to the future, that's exciting. It shows the audience that we're committed for this fantastic long-term storytelling and that Rick's got his shit together. So
what?
This is a real flash forward? This is a lie. I don't believe this.
I don't believe it either.
But
fantastic storytelling. Okay.
No, but I'm talking about the whole.
No, agree.
Glimpse into the future.
I don't believe any of that. Any of what just was said. None of that. I don't believe any of that. Like, no.
So if we're going to get our answers for the mid-season finale and this comic book spoiler is happening when we get our answers,
mm-hmm.
does that mean that's going to be over? I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
I don't either. They're going to drag this shit out as long as humanly possible and make it make as little sense as humanly possible.
Okay.
Oh, whatever. I mean, maybe we're wrong. Maybe they really will. Who knows? But I don't believe it either.
Yeah.
Okay. This one's coming to us from Kenneth. This episode sucked. I fell asleep on it twice. But I have all kinds of questions. Deep, burning questions. The kind you write down and leave in an abandoned microwave for someone to stumble upon and answer. So let's start with the most important of them all. Why wasn't Jadis wearing any underwear when she was knitting that cat? That's just a terrible way to treat a vagina. Oh my God.
Knitting the cat. It is a terrible way to treat a vagina.
It's bad enough she's lugging that thing around a junkyard, but to plop it down in that funky-looking chair is too much. To paraphrase Negan, vaginas are resources, especially in the apocalypse. And if somebody doesn't have the hygienical fortitude to properly preserve and protect theirs, then you don't want that person as an ally in war. Oh, God. You can forgive the broken English, the betrayal, the bad haircuts and negotiating skills, but not that. Not ever. When did Lori ever give Carl advice? While that was a nice scene where Carl and Sadiq reminisced about their mothers, I don't remember Lori ever knowing where Carl was long enough to impart any wisdom upon him.
Oh, that's when she died.
Yeah, it was.
It's when she told him to.
But, I mean, it took her that long.
Yeah.
In fairness.
No, just answering the question. Yep. It was when she died and she was like, don't let the world, like, just, like, do what's right, basically. Right. Yeah.
Don't let the world change you, something mm-hmm. to that effect. I don't know. Maybe she did it while he was taking a nap one day, or maybe while he was in the womb. But the real question with Carl is, why isn't he at the hilltop? Enid is blossoming, and she's been trying to give him some apocalypse booty for almost 2 seasons now. But he'd rather hop in the back of a truck and go on some suicidal mission or meet new friends in the woods. I tell you, the decisions these people make are just mind-boggling. Speaking of decisions and minds, why hasn't Michonne gone through the concussion protocol? If this was the NFL, there'd be smelling salts and doctors asking, what's Mike's mama's name? Instead, she's running around with bruised ribs and ringing in her ears, talking about, I just need to see the sanctuary. And this was after Rick sent a letter saying, baby, I got this. And how in 2 days they'd meet and spike the football. Rosita should have took those keys and told her, girl, your concussed ass needs to sit down and put some ice on your ribs and your head. I love that we could count on him to always bring the truth like this. Oh, God. In such great fashion. So is Daryl just going to randomly kill people now? I mean, he didn't know who that lady with the speakers was. She could have been a DJ, but he just hit her with a dump truck, then got out and shot her. No questions asked. And are he and Tara trying to prove that two heads aren't better than one? How'd their conversation go? You know, Dwight, the guy giving us all this information to help bring down the saviors? I'm gonna kill him when this is over. Oh yeah? How about we both kill him? And how about we both do it before he can give us any more information? I think that'd be a good idea. Yeah! 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 How long is this show going to be in cryptic mode? We still have no idea what Rick wants with the garbage people and why they're even needed now that he has the sanctuary surrounded. Note for the writers, viewers might be more invested in the plan if they actually knew the plan. Keeping the plan a secret is serving no purpose except to frustrate the viewers. And are they ever going to clear up this Jesus thing? It seems Jesus is trying to say that the group shouldn't allow war to change who they are. In his mind, they are fair and humane people, not executioners, and staying true to that will make it easier to live not only with the remaining saviors after the war is done, but also easier to live with themselves. Given the PTSD we've seen a number of characters go through, it's a legit point, but the writers won't delve below any surface level treatment of the issue, and they totally screwed the timing up by not having him make this an issue before the war started. All in all, again, this episode sucked. I fell asleep on it twice, but hopefully it all comes together in the mid-season finale. Until next week.
See, I feel like The Walking Dead is not okay with what they are. Like, I know what The Walking Dead is. I know what it could be.
Sure.
It's definitely not that. But as it is, I get it. I get what the show is. But I feel like they are just like, they want to be like this. They think of themselves a little more. I think they think it's like, this is our chance to do like high art. And it's like, no, you guys just need to tell a linear story.
Yeah.
Stop with this time jump shit. Is Carl here? Is Carl in the next dimension? And I feel like they're doing that because then they can be like, oh, when the reveal is, so you can be like, oh my gosh, you know, I didn't know that or whatever. And it's right. Like, never in The Walking Dead have I been super surprised by a plot point that they have kind of like obscured by doing this other stuff.
Nope.
It's just like, you should have just told me this right in the beginning. Like, here's a plot point that got me. Grey's Anatomy. John Doe was George.
Right.
Like, that, I was like, oh my God!
No! I remember that, too.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And that has never happened on The Walking Dead.
Nope.
And that's fine. Stop trying to act like you're not going to do it. You can't, you know, stop trying to do it. It's not working.
Yeah. No, it's never worked.
Just tell a straight, because then I gotta pay too much attention to stupid stuff like what's Carl wearing?
Right.
And I don't want to do that.
No. Or, like, I mean, I feel like they've done it on a much smaller scale, like the time we assumed that they were digging Beth's grave, that, mm-hmm. bless her heart, she never got one. But then it's, oh, it's actually Tyrese. Like, but that's a much smaller scale. That's fine. Cool. But this shit, no.
Stop. Yeah. And I thought about that. I thought about that as an example. Yes. And yes. I was like, yeah, that's the time they got me that one time.
And that was cool. But it's different though, because that was a very short term kind of thing. Right. It's like a bookend.
Right.
But with this, you can't, they're not doing it. It's not working.
And it's like, that was season 5.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, y'all. There's been a lot of episodes since that. We know. We've been here. Okay. All right. This one's coming to us from Melanie. She says, hey, ladies. I hope you're doing well. So about episode 8-6. When I was watching it last night, the episode seemed super blah, like so many of them this season. Fortunately, or unfortunately for me, I have a flu and didn't go into work today, so I was able to watch it a second time. Hope you feel better, Melanie. It still wasn't a great episode, but it was better. And maybe that's part of my issue in regard to season 8. I've only watched 3 of the episodes twice. I think that writers and producers of a show should make the episodes engaging the first time around, but what the hell do I know? Anyway, here are a few of my thoughts. 1. Sadiq has very pretty eyes and lashes. He seems like an alright guy. I hope he doesn't turn out to be a baddie, especially since this is Carl's first recruit. And about that, why can't that boy just stay in the house? I know he's not a little kid anymore, but still, if Michonne was home, he wouldn't have dipped out. I highly doubt Rick told him he could take over Aaron's old job. He said as much. Where is Sadiq gonna live? The Grimes house is full. He can't stay there. Even if he stays in another house, who is gonna watch over him for the first few days to make sure he's not some kind of bandit? Alexandria doesn't have the resources right now. Damn it, Carl! 2. As much as I love Michonne, I'm glad Michonne didn't leave Alexandria just to see how Rick was doing. I'm glad that she was going out for her own reasons. At first, I thought her wanting to see the sanctuary was stupid, and it kinda is. But I can understand her wanting to see things with her own eyes, especially since things there are kinda under control. She got a little sloppy in that warehouse with those tennis balls, though. And the whole time, I was worried about the handle of her katana was gonna knock against one of those shelves. All I know is that she's gonna have to rest up because I have the feeling she's gonna need to slay some of those filthy garbage people soon. Soon enough. Daryl and Tara are officially the little kids of Alexandria. Out of all the things that are going on now, 36 hours into the war, a war that has benefited from the info provided by Dwight, why are these babies thinking about who should kill him and how soon? Both of them could take that garbage truck and drive it off in the sunset together, as far as I'm concerned. You know, at this rate, I hope it's Dwight who kills one of them. You know, who am I kidding? As much as Daryl annoys me, I still love him. Dwight can just kill Tara. Carzekiel is gonna happen, and I'm totally down with it. The filthy garbage people. Where do I even begin? Why do we have to see that one guy's ass cheeks? We didn't ask for any of that. And why, oh why, does Jadis do her arts and crafts with no bottoms on? That is just so nasty. That's just asking for all sorts of infections in her nether regions and body as a whole. And she actually thought Rick would be down to sleep with her? I want to vomit. Oh my god. I'm loving all this vagina talk. Like, what god, why you do that to your vajayjay? I love it.
I do love the fact that, like, girl, you have no dignity about yourself.
Right? Put on some panties.
You really think Rick would want that?
She's like Meredith from The Office, Jadis is. Like, Meredith, where are your panties? Like, oh, it's Casual Friday in the junkyard. Okay. I love Rick, but going back to those people asking to make yet another deal was beyond stupid. And presumably, this was planned out with the whole team, or teams, I should say. Why did anyone think it'd be smart of Rick to approach them by himself? Why would Rick think this turncoat would turn back around for him? What's the deal with them stripping him and putting him in an A train car? Sidebar, even though he shouldn't have been in that position, he looked pretty damn hot. The sweatiness was totally working for him. It looks like Andy's been working on those abs. I can't believe she took his boots, too. It's like, yeah, Jadis is the tall woman, but aren't Rick's boots too big for her? I just can't stand her. She needs to go. That's all I can think of for now. I'll be back next week. Ta-ta for now, ladies. From Melanie.
Bye.
Oh, man. Hope you feel better, Melanie. Okay, and then from Michelle. Has everyone lost their minds? I know, based on that subject. I'm beginning to feel like I'm in a relationship that while still loving the thrill is gone. You're beginning to wonder what you saw in them in the first place, all the while trying to think of ways to keep the relationship going because you remember the good times. Having said that, I'm really at my wit's end with this show. The writing has been really poor this season. With the exception of the Ezekiel episode, this season hasn't even had the luxury of being uneven. It's been steadily underperforming in all areas. Excuse me. Nothing against the actress. I quite like Pollyanna McIntosh, but why do they keep trying to make Jadis a thing? What the hell is wrong with Rick? Did he take a blow to the head last week in his tickle fight with Daryl last week that none of us saw or know about? Rick, sweetie, the heapsters have done the following to you. Tossed you down a mountain of trash to fight a weaponized walker that, may I remind you, caused you to impale your hand, which is still not healed. Betrayed you, shot you, nearly beat the love of your life to death. But sure, let's go visit them again and play Let's Make a Deal.
Grazed him.
Grazed. Definitely grazed. What makes you
think... Or else he'd be mad.
What the fuck? What makes you think they're going to feel threatened or intimidated by anything you do, show, or suggest to them? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Again, Chekhov's A appears on a container. Why? What I mean to say is please try and make me care about this. Why the hell would Carl, Michonne, and Rosita leave Alexandria? Has everyone just decided to abandon common sense? Didn't it dawn on anyone to say maybe one of us should stay behind in case the saviors, no brain surgeons themselves, as displayed last week, decide to attack? Michonne is one of their smartest characters. She's always calm, pragmatic, intuitive, and logical when faced with situations of uncertainty. Hands down, one of their best leaders who never gets acknowledged as such. So imagine my dismay when they had her doing something this dumb. Why the hell does she have to see the sanctuary? Does she have some sort of plan? Doesn't she know that teaming up with Rosita is where common sense and good plans go to die? And yes, it inadvertently worked out, but it didn't justify the risk they took leaving Alexandria undefended. I feel like the showrunners are trying to come up with some sort of vague, undefined tension with Daryl, Michonne, Rosita, Tara versus Rick's great plan. I swear I'm done if the show pulls some sort of soap opera bullshit between Rick and Michonne. Perhaps I'm being paranoid, but the lack of any sort of cohesive practical plan makes me wonder what shenanigans they have in store for us. Things that worked well were the scenes with Carol and Ezekiel. They worked quite well together, and I do appreciate how honest they can be with one another. Let's hope little Henry fares better with Carol than previous kids. Carl and Sadiq. Though given the way Carl was referencing deceased characters has renewed my spoiler alert belief in the theories that he's going to die. I could watch Andrew Lincoln walk all day. So true. Man. Sexiest walk ever. Got the swagger. It was great seeing Gregory sniveling and crying in the pen. Still think it's a bad idea moving them inside the walls of the hilltop. You just know this is going to come back to haunt Maggie. She should have tossed Jesus in there for good measure. He is really annoying the hell out of me. And why are we punishing Aaron by making him pair up with Enid? Hasn't he suffered enough losing Eric? I know. Oh, she's not been that bad. Not recently. No, but I'm kind of here for that whole idea of, like, let's put Jesus in there with them. Like, here, you can keep an eye on them from the inside. I feel as if the writers are just throwing together unlikely pairings to see what will come of it. It's not working. We're running in circles here. There isn't any logic to what they're doing. Worse than that, everyone, not just Rick, is making extremely stupid decisions. Michonne a few weeks ago is saying to Carl, I will stay with you to defend Alexandria. So they both decide to leave? Carl's leaving makes a bit more sense, but Michonne's decision, I can't talk today, to leave and then having Rosita with her makes none. And now Morgan / Lenny James is the one to go to Fear the Walking Dead. What the hell? I really want to love this show again. I adore the cast. They need to get rid of the heapsters, wrap up this ridiculous Alexandria Hilltop Kingdom versus the Savior storyline. Full disclosure, this has always been my least favorite storyline from the comics, and maybe go off script. Maybe stop adhering to the comics so much. What works in the comics is not translating to the show. They are suffering from the opposite of Game of Thrones. Whereas Game of Thrones storylines have become more fanservice-y because they are not following the books and less intricate and subtle, because George Martin has not been involved with the show or writing any scripts, the show has decided to just go with that. And while having some issues overall, it's worked. I can't help but think that The Walking Dead needs to do that with Kirkman and AMC. Stop following the comic and do something different. Look to the comic loosely for inspiration, but nothing more. I understand Kirkman wants his story represented, but someone has to tell him that it's not working. This storyline needs to die a quick death, and perhaps they can try something different, because this is not working for me at all. End of rant for now. Bye for now from Michelle. Yeah, I'm here for that idea. Let's just abandon this comic shit, please. Yeah. And we had one other one. This is actually in reference to what we were talking about last episode about what people are saying regarding Jadis possibly being Alpha, maybe, from the comics. If they don't decide to just completely defer, who knows? But this is coming from Ashley. She said, "My reason for writing in was the theory about Jadis turning into Alpha eventually. I hadn't heard this before, but it does make sense to me. This is based on a spoiler I saw for 8B. So stop reading now if you don't want to know." So guys, if you don't want to hear spoilers for 8B, turn it off.
Also, sorry if you didn't know who Alpha was.
Oh yeah, also that. Did we mention Alpha at the beginning? I can't remember. I don't even remember. Okay, so spoiler. Apparently in the early part of 8B, all of the trash people, except for Jadis, are going to die. I won't say more than that so as not to totally ruin it, but back to the theory. I could see Jadis leaving for a while and then returning as Alpha after the time jump. This is the point where I stop reading the comics, but aren't the Whisperers the next big arc after All Out War? Yes, they are. So that would probably be some of Season 9. I could see these writers thinking that would be a cool twist once Alpha is revealed. Also, with a time jump of a couple years, she could certainly adopt a daughter in that time. I wouldn't want this theory to be true because Jadis is the main trash person I want to die. She's become like a mosquito just sort of buzzing around Michonne, which the writers seem to think is cute, and I'm over it. But I can see this being the reason they keep her alive. Okay, that's it. Curious to hear your thoughts if you decide to read the spoiler, and I hope you have and had a super happy Thanksgiving. Hope you also did, Ashley. That actually made me think even more. I was like, yeah, I feel like that's what they're going to do with this. In their efforts to have, like, what you're talking about, a George moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not cute.
I'm like, honestly, that would be interesting. I feel like in the hands of other people. Like, that's not a bad idea. No. That's not a bad idea to go with.
It's not. And, I mean, she's, based on what I know about Alpha, she fits the bill perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I just think they're going to butcher the hell out of it. Unless they get new showrunners. You know, I mean, who knows?
I mean, these are also the same people who thought the trash people would be a good thing. That's the thing, yep. Like, that's kind of a cool idea to have just, like, this sleeper thing waiting in, like, lying in wait, but you packaged it in the most annoying thing ever.
Yep.
Like the worst thing about the show. And now you think coming back to this, revisiting this and something else is going to be, is going to be like fun. You like squandered all your goodwill with the packaging in the first place. It's like, no, I don't care if this is Alpha. I don't care now. 'Cause I hate the trash people. So,
yep. Well, and I mean, I think they only made up the trash people just so they could introduce you to Jadis, just so that they could have this big ta-da.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why couldn't you have done this better? There was no reason that you guys couldn't have done this better.
Yeah.
So there we go.
And you know, they lay this shit out so far ahead. Like, just if that was the idea, like, to start something in season 6 that would come to fruition in season 9, who knows what the hell, not 6, 7.
Right.
Who knows what the hell they're doing now? And it's like these bad instincts that they have, they just don't have, I feel like they don't have like room to change it because they have all this stuff dependent on it. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. If I was a showrunner and I saw how people were responding to the trash people in 7B, like laughing, like, what the hell is this?
Yep.
I would have been like, ooh, maybe we need to rewrite some of this shit for 8.
Yeah, change some direction.
Yeah, but no, because now they got all this stuff, all these future storylines dependent on it. So, yeah. And it's at some point, that is what you want from a showrunner, to have a book or, you know, some kind of plan laid out.
Sure.
It's so far and ahead to know that they know where they're going. But again, these instincts are just not good.
Nope.
So
they're not good at all. Well, and I agree with you on that. But at the same time, like, I feel like there should be some way that they can, I don't know, have an escape hatch. Like, okay, this isn't working. Let's do something else. I mean, kind of like what they did with Andrea. Mm-hmm. You know, Andrea was allegedly supposed to be around for a minute, and they were like, oh, this isn't working at all. Bye, Andrea.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, why can't we figure out some other way around?
I mean, they only did that because the leadership was in flux, though.
This is also true.
Like, everything was changing. So, I mean, whatever the showrunner, that current showrunner's plans,
right?
Who cares? Because he's not going to be the showrunner anymore.
Right.
So,
I mean, is it possible we could get another showrunner? Can we get that?
I don't know, because it'd be one thing if this was Gimple's only property.
Right.
But they gave him Fear.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. So, okay, we're almost to the mid-season. Like, what do you think? After reading your Entertainment Weekly thing, do you think that this is... Do you think All Out War is going to be over by the midseason?
If it is, it was paced so poorly.
Indeed.
Like, I wanted it done by the midseason, but I thought it would make sense if it was.
Right.
And if it is, it won't make sense the way we've seen it.
No. I mean, I don't see how that they can piece it together in a way that would forgive what has happened the last few episodes,
yeah.
Just in a couple more. Like, I just don't see it.
Yeah.
Ugh. Okay. All right. Do you have any other closing thoughts?
I do not.
All right, guys. We will see you next week.
Bye. Thanks for joining.